Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert. This segment is brought to you by footballcontest.com, the number one proxy service and top source for all info on Las Vegas football contests, including live standings. That's footballcontest.com. Again, My Guys in the Desert here. I'm Danielle Avari at the VSiN Circus Studio. We have Jonathan Von Tobel in for Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds at the South Point Sportsbook. JVT, I know you wish this was The Edge, but yes, we are on in the Desert.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, just want to like get that out of the way before we get started. Let's talk about some NFL draft props. We've been doing this all week, taking a look at some of these options. What about top five pick? These odds are from DraftKings. Mac Jones is a favorite here to be a top five pick at minus 400. Justin Fields also, you know, a little bit of minus here, minus 167. Trey Lance, minus 167. Penei Sewell, also minus 150. Kyle Pitts, minus 125. Jamar Chase, plus 125. Rashawn Slater, 3-1. Micah Parsons, 7-1. Which one of these picks do you like the best?
Look, so I'm relatively stubborn when it comes to things like this. If I could find a no on Mac Jones going within the top five, Danielle, I'm all in. And we've started to see the market shift right today. Justin Fields now becomes the odds-on favorite to go number three. But I just, like, when you read the analysis, it's just not something I've really understood up to this point, Mac Jones being this high up in the draft, when all indications are, by people who are much smarter than me who watch film, the guy is, in terms of big boards, prospects, however you want to name it, a mid-20s type guy. Mm-hmm. I think I was wrong in that he wasn't going to be a first-round pick, but I believe, Wes, that I am right, that he is not going to be within this top five. So I know it's an index prop, Danielle. So out of all these names that you're kind of looking at here, there are a couple that maybe potentially, like a Jamar Chase, could maybe find himself at number five. That might be a little tight. But I think overall, I would just love to attack these from a no perspective, because I would love to get a plus price on that.
Right. And to your point, John, one of these quarterbacks has to slip, because we know Cincinnati's not drafting a quarterback now. Maybe they make their pick available for trade, or Atlanta does the same thing. Atlanta, it seemed like, I don't want to say settled, because there's obviously a lot of time before the draft, but Kyle Pitts made a lot of sense there necessarily, that they, if they weren't in love with one of these quarterbacks, that they would go ahead and take a pass, or at least make their pick available for trade if somebody wanted to trade up. But, you know, maybe from a value standpoint, one thing you're kind of hearing about is there are a lot of sentiment out there from some scouts or some draft nicks that they like Rashawn Slater better than Penei Sewell as an offensive tackle. We know Sewell was a great player as a freshman at Oregon, opted out last season, but Slater is starting to get a little bit of buzz, so it would not shock me if he was the first tackle drafted, if let's say the Bengals go that route and Kyle Pitts gets taken at number four by Atlanta. Well, who's left for Cincinnati? They could go with Jamar Chase, but they could also go with one of the tackles. You obviously, you had your rookie star quarterback hurt in the first season, so you need to get somebody up there on the offensive line at some point. So could be Slater, could be Sewell, and Slater would certainly have the value.
Yeah, I mean, these odds have already shifted so dramatically. If you look at DraftKings now, Justin Fields is minus 400 to be a top five pick. Mac Jones, minus 305. Jamar Chase, minus 125. JBT, the Mac Jones I hate you hour can be this, I guess.
Hey, I just want to make clear, no, I don't hate Mac
Jones.
He's
standing, he's a Justin Fields stan.
No, I don't hate Mac Jones. I just, you know, I think, Danielle, like, we got really excited about the whole pro day the first time around and really overvalued what that actually meant for San Francisco.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm with you. But so Mac Jones probably going in the first round, like you mentioned. So total quarterbacks taken in the first round. This is a fun prop. It opened at 4.5. Now you cannot find that. It's got to be a 5.5. Over 5.5 at plus 350. Under at minus 500. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones. I mean, possibly Kyle Trask. What do you think of this prop?
Wes, now, yeah, you're getting into like Kyle Trask and Kellen Mond territory.
Kellen Mond, also Davis Mills and Jamie Newman and those types. I just don't see anybody going. And really, if you look at a lot of draft picks, they may only have four guys with first round grades, and Mac Jones would maybe not be one of those four. Of course, Lawrence, Wilson, Fields, and Lance get first round grades, so there's not a real consensus there on Mac Jones. So, and he's going to go in the first round, obviously, but I just can't find that sixth quarterback here.
Yeah, I'd completely agree. I would go under that big time.
If you could bet on Mac Jones to not go in the first round, would you bet that?
Depends on the number you're giving me.
Yeah.
I would have.
All right.
The right
we have
price.
A lot more to break down. Stick with us right here on My Guys in the Desert. Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert. I'm Danielle Avari at the VSiN Circus Studio inside the Circus Sportsbook. At the South Point Sportsbook Studio today, we have Informat Humans, Jonathan Von Tobel, JVT, and Wes Reynolds. And coming up in the Circus Studio, we're going to have Derek Stevens and Mike Palm join us. And later on at the South Point Studio, we'll have Jimmy Vaccaro, JVT.
Hey, Danielle, don't ruin the bit, right? Okay, this is what it's I'm just like slowly, psychologically taking the show over. And if I subtly slip in a different show name, then maybe one day we'll just rebrand the entire show and then I'll just never leave, huh? How about that?
I see.
Yeah, right? The method of the madness.
We're right here. Yeah. We're right here on that level.
You're
here.
You're smelling what I'm stepping in.
I am. I'm smelling what The Rock is cooking here. And to your point, let's get back really quick before we bring on Mike and Derek. Justin Fields now the betting favorite at number 3 at William Hill US, minus 150. Mac Jones has drifted up to plus 120. So market's starting to get wise a little bit here to what you were saying. And you made that observation right on this program, I believe on Tuesday, that wait a minute, I am absolutely taking Justin Fields at number 3 here, and that you did not get necessarily the hype for Mac Jones. And one man's, I guess, hate or anti Mac Jones is one man's pro Justin Fields, which I think you fall more into that category.
Right. And I've said this multiple times. I'll say this again. A week before the draft last year, Justin Herbert was a Dolphin, and he is not. So just always remember that, you know, these reports that we get, and I always love the idea of smoke screens because, like, just think about the concept of what a smoke screen is. I am a general manager, and I am going to feed a false report to the media in the hopes that a fellow general manager will read on Pro Football Talk that I'm thinking about taking another guy.
Right.
Like, it's all just agents and trying to get names out there.
Yeah.
I've never really understood it, so.
They read the Twitter, too, for the Schefter reports and all that stuff. By the way, want to reference an NBA game we talked about at the end of last hour, that being 525-526, Milwaukee Bucks at Atlanta Hawks. Giannis upgraded to probable, so now starting to see the Don Best screen take the price off the board and reprice. I believe Circa Sports 5.5, Westgate 6.
Is there. Yep.
Yes.
I was going to say, yep. And then we're right back to the opening number of 6 and the total, too. We always forget about those things, with the total up to 232 now with the presence of when Giannis Antetokounmpo. So, again, Giannis looks like he's going to play. We still don't have, though, the official word on one Trae Young. And so that's going to be a massive factor as well, as Trae Young, if he doesn't play, we're talking about in the range of like 8 more than likely for this number between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Atlanta Hawks. So we do get Giannis Antetokounmpo on the floor. He's missed the last 5 games, and make no mistake about it, by the way, the Bucks need him. The difference in their defensive efficiency from
when when he goes to the bench, not when he misses games, just when he goes to the bench for just a few minutes.
Yep, from a 108 to about a 120, the defensive efficiency difference. Like, it is insane, the difference between the teams when Giannis is not even on the floor. So we'll keep track of that again. Giannis Antetokounmpo will play today for the Milwaukee Bucks. And by the way, really quickly, since we're on there, we should note the last game that we didn't discuss, just to update the number, the Phoenix Suns up to a 12.5-point favorite today over the Sacramento Kings with a total of 234.5. Didn't really have anything much. The simple analysis here, Wes, was, again, you're kind of buying at the top of the market with the Phoenix Suns. They're power rated to the gills at this point right now. You look at it, they've won 10 out of the last 11 games, but they've only covered 6 because of the numbers that they continuously lay. They deserve to be power rated very high, but you always have to keep that in mind. Again, buying at the top of the market, not something beneficial for your bankroll.
How high are you on them for the playoffs, being that they don't have a lot of playoff experience?
Not entirely high, but it might not be because of the playoff experience. We can expand on that a little bit. I know we got our boys, Mike Palm, Derek Stevens are here. They're not here for chatter about the NBA. They're here to talk a little hardball. What's up, boys?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. Oh, man, I came underdressed. I should have worn a coat. You guys look great. I'm excited. Mike, I haven't talked to you for a while, but I have been watching. The show's been going great, my friend.
Really? That's good to hear. That's the first opinion that's been positive so far.
No, well, you know, I gotta butter you up too. I mean, come on, I'm in a very precarious spot right now. All right, let's talk a little baseball, guys. First off, Mike, I wanted to start with this because I made some anecdotal observations about baseball recently, and it's funny that Jacob sent over that you wanted to talk about this because I've just been kind of throwing this around in my own head. When I'm watching baseball games, I don't know how many times I'm not looking at the screen and I hear like, "Oh, that's gone," and then you look around and it dies at the warning track. It does seem like these balls are a little different, are they not?
Yeah, well, they are. They weigh less, and that was the studies that were done before the year started. Some said it would travel 2 feet less for every 400 feet hit. Some said a foot and a half, but there would be less home runs. It's pretty interesting what we're seeing so far, though. I mean, the exit velo is up. The ball is flying off the bat. It's just not going as far. Home runs per at bat are down. Obviously, batting average at an all-time low. It's a short sample size. You know, about 15 games for most teams, but an all-time low batting average. We've seen two no-hitters already, so I think this new baseball is definitely having an effect on the game, Derek.
I completely agree. I mean, the fact that the exit velo is up, yet balls are not traveling nearly as far as what they thought, tells you a lot about the surface of the ball, the seams of the ball, and clearly we're seeing a little something different. Now, like you just said, small sample size. We're only 2 weeks into the season here, right here. And some of the games have been played under some really harsh conditions. So we got to wait till temperatures warm up a little bit. But yeah, it certainly seems like we're seeing a little bit of a different type of a ball game. And I think there's a different strategy on the way to play it because of the way the ball is just not carrying.
Well, and that was my next question, guys. Like, have you weaponized this at all? You know, Dave Tooley does a great job, keeps track of these things. Slight edge to the unders up to this point. I think it's about 52-53%. Have you factored this into your handicapping early on, or is this just more observational? We'll see where this goes.
Well, I would tell you, I think the ball has an impact on play, but I think, you know, the one thing that you can always rely upon is the market. Market's going to change. The market adjusts so quickly here. So I think what we're going to see is, you know, these numbers are going to continue to trend down until you get more to about a 50-50 type of deal. And then you got to be careful for when temperatures start picking up, because then I think you're going to see a little bit of a different carry on that ball. When you have exit velos like the way they are, it's going to be a whole lot different when you have a little bit of humidity and about 78 degrees in the evening.
Derek, the Tigers are in action tonight against the A's. Tigers 6-6, decent start to the season. Are you on the Akil Badu train, perhaps, for Rookie of the Year here in the American League?
What a great story this guy is. Isn't it amazing? A Rule 5 guy had basically no shot to make the team out of spring training and just lit up Lakeland, lit up Florida. And yeah, then he comes out, and what a storybook start. First pitch of his career, home run, walk off win, 11 RBIs for a guy with 27 at bats. I think Detroit is all behind this guy. This is the big question. Is Akil Badu going to turn into the next Chris Shelton, or is he going to be able to run with it? And boy, he said everything possibly he could in a way that make the fans love him. His parents have been at the games, and he is a true underdog that I think everyone's loving to get behind. So I'm a big Akil Badu fan, and I actually talked to my son about him probably about the third week of March. I go, "You see what this kid's doing? This could be a lot of fun watching him." And yeah, and he's just been ripping. He's a lot to do with why the Tigers are 6-6. I mean, you know, they started off 3-6, and then they with this little sweep in Houston, all of a sudden it gets a little more interesting.
Yep. And when we have a bunch of stories like this, right, Derek? I mean, Jake Cronenworth today doubles twice, walked twice, stole a base. Like, we have a lot of these stories that are percolating throughout baseball.
Yeah, I mean, Cronenworth's another story. I love Cronenworth. Yep. The kid went to the University of Michigan, St. Clair, Michigan type of kid, and he's playing at an all-star level. I mean, really only his second year in the league, and boy, this guy's had a huge impact. You know, we always talk about how well the Tampa Bay Rays develop players and then they get these great trades and things like this. This is one that's not been talked about too much. Think about the fact that Tampa Bay traded Cronenworth and Tommy Pham for Hunter Renfro. And then after 1 year, the Padres cut Renfro. This was one that was, you could already stack it up as just a steal for the Padres, which then plays in with what the Padres did with bringing in all these new free agents and things like that. But having Pham and Cronenworth in that trade is a pretty big deal. And I think Cronenworth's a real important person, particularly now Tatis is out and they move Kim to short.
Well, Derek, here's the bottom line. The Padres are going to spend $1 billion to be a wild card. I mean, it's not even close.
Yep.
The Dodgers are going to win 120 games this year. If you should just be martingaling the Dodgers all year long. They may not lose three games in a row. I know you're going to have to lay 250, and then you're going to have to double up the 250 and you double. They aren't. Where's the holes here?
Well,
Kershaw, let me talk. Can I talk, Derek?
You got your whole show. You can always
talk,
Mike.
You have a platform. I don't have a platform. Here's the problem. Here's the problem with the Dodgers, though. Kenley Jensen is the problem. Why not take this carrot top May and make him your closer? He's like the Nelson Lamet in San Diego. He's unhittable the first time through the lineup. He doesn't pitch, he throws. Bring him and let him throw 100 in the ninth inning. You still have David Price. I'm not sure he's up to par yet. And then you're going to get Gonsolin back. Your fifth guy doesn't need to eat a lot of innings in that rotation. All right? Bueller's going to eat a lot of innings. Bauer's going to eat a lot of innings. Yuri's going to eat a lot of innings. You don't need that. You just need a guy that's going to go out there and give you five innings like a Maeda used to do for them. Let May go. But this team is just so stacked. I mean, San Diego can do all they want to do. Eventually, they're going to have to be a wild card. They're going to have to win a series and then try to beat the Dodgers in a seven-game series. They can spend all the money they want. They're not winning that division.
No, I don't dispute that. But I'll tell you what, with that starting pitching staff for the Padres, and you go to a playoff,
well, let's
it could
talk
be really
about it.
Interesting.
How good is Blake Snell? Has he been outstanding?
Certainly wasn't a couple days ago.
My God. What's his problem? He can't get out of the first inning.
Yeah,
he's a
true.
Bust. Darvish has been a bust everywhere he's gone. I don't know about this story. I mean, the local kid, Musgrove, and he couldn't get through four last night. I don't know what you're talking about. You put all your eggs in this basket, advertising with the Padres, the ninth inning. The good thing is you'll get a lot of bottom of the ninth now. I don't think they're running through everybody.
First sign of adversity for Mike, and he's getting skittish on the Padres.
I would say, you know, remember, it's going to be a long, long season. How do the Dodgers stay motivated in August?
How do they stay motivated? What, do you think they're going to coast in for the last 60?
Probably.
They got guys still trying to play for spots. They're deep. They don't have enough outfield spots for their roster, okay? They got a lot of guys that will come and get time and are playing for contracts. Don't worry about them. They might have three pitchers looking for 20 wins in August and September.
That's
how they'll stay motivated.
Listen, this wasn't a moot court, and I picked the Padres, man. What are you doing? I like the Dodgers. I just think those are the top two teams in baseball.
The bottom line is we'd rather go watch games in San Diego.
Oh, yeah, that's part of it, too. That's fair.
Mike, over the ice really quickly, the trade deadline came and went on Monday. Nothing really of a seismic market change, I don't think, really in the futures market. But who are the teams that you thought really made themselves better at the deadline and maybe some of the teams that made some questionable moves?
Yeah, I don't think there's much of a shakeup at all, Wes. I don't know that there's anything significant really happened in the landscape here. I mean, we're looking at half a dozen teams that probably have a legitimate shot to win the Stanley Cup. And I tell you right now, what I think is an interesting bet, and you can get it here at Circus Sports, is the Predators at 55-1. I mean, I'd like to take a shot. They played themselves from second to last into a playoff spot now, 12-3 in their last. Saros is playing great. They just shellacked Tampa Bay the other night. Interesting matchup that you can get them at plus 155 tonight against Carolina and Mrazek, who's back. I think they're a very interesting team. Listen, they get through. You get through one series, and you're looking at a team at 55-1 has a lot of value in a sense of where you can start hedging once you get to the Stanley Cup. But I think it's going to be terrific. I mean, this Stanley Cup playoff is going to be. I mean, you might be looking at the Avalanche and the Knights in the second round matchup. I mean, there's going to be a lot of compelling stories here.
And when it comes to the Avalanche and the Knights, Mike, really quickly, we were talking with Andy McNeil yesterday, and he was talking about how the market maybe, at least in his opinion, seemed a little off when it came to the discrepancy between those two teams, that maybe the market a little too low when it came to Vegas versus Colorado, that Vegas actually was maybe being a little underpriced in a matchup like that, in a series like that. When you see those two teams in a potential series, how would you handicap that?
Yeah, I think you have to give the advantage to Colorado right now. The question mark has always been, is Grubauer going to be able to take you through a playoffs? Because he hasn't gone really deep into a playoff yet. I'm not sold on Robin Lehner. I think, you know, last year we might have been too quick to pronounce that Lehner should have been the number one. He shouldn't have been splitting time with Fleury. We've seen some chinks in that armor this year, maybe some issues that they've had before. I just think Colorado through two lines has got more talent. Now, they went out and picked up Devin Dubnyk, who got the win for him last night in St. Louis. I think they're the class in the West. I think that it's an uphill battle for the Knights. And remember, in recent years when these two teams have played, Colorado has really gotten the best of the Golden Knights and really dominated them, especially in games here in Las Vegas.
Do you guys got anything on the board action later tonight? I think feel like it's a foolish question. A lot of hockey, a lot of baseball.
You know, we got the Oakland A's Tiger game. You know, something Mike said about putting May as a closer. You know, I love Scooble, but I think Scooble ought to be at the back end of the bullpen. I know they brought him up as a starter, and I think the guy's got a pretty live ball. But I'm not a huge fan after what we saw. You know, his first couple starts, I guess his first start was all right, but second start kind of blew up. But boy, Scooble's another guy that I think a strong lefty, and I'd rather him at the back end than starting here.
I played the Devils Rangers first period under JVT at a plus 105 under 1.5. Shesterkin just shut them out the other night, 3-0. He's playing very well in goal here. Obviously, New Jersey is a team more defensive minded with Lindy Ruff there. Surprised this game was a 6. If people don't like to play the first period, I think there's some value in going under 6 as well.
Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, live from the Circa Studios. Boys, it's always good to talk to you. Thank you very much for the time today.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
You got it. All right, Wes, we have a lot left to get. Jimmy Vaccaro is going to be with us. Speaking of, we have all of these great people joining us in this hour. Mike Palm, Derek Stevens down at Circa, Jimmy Vaccaro coming up in about 15 minutes from now. We'll get his thoughts on everything happening behind the counter here at the South Point Sportsbook. For those who were not with us earlier, the news, of course, that Giannis Antetokounmpo is playing. We do have that adjustment finally proliferating all throughout the books and all throughout the market. 6 across the board right now with a total of 231.5 or 232.
And Anthony Kay will be your starter for the Royals, or the Blue Jays, rather. They had not had a starter all afternoon, so it'd be the left-hander K going for the Dunedin Blue Jays, I guess, if you want to call them, against the Kansas City Royals with Junis on the hill.
All right, when we come back, we have been pushing this off. We'll discuss those win totals up in the NFC South real quick. Just update where we're at with the juice, those numbers, what you're looking at very early. Obviously, no schedules, but that doesn't mean that we can't analyze a little bit when we come back here on My Guys in the Desert.
Welcome back into the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with JVT and Wes Reynolds.
Appreciate it, Danielle. Thank you very much. Danielle, of course, live from the Circa Studios, and we'll be live on Primetime Action, MSG Plus, where you can catch that fine program. Okay. Wes, win totals. We've been talking about this a little bit today, just teasing this really quickly, because I think the team of interest, of course, outside of the defending Super Bowl champs, is what the New Orleans Saints do going forward here and what their season could potentially look like going forward. So the Saints, of course, as we know, will have a little bit of a question mark at quarterback. Drew Brees is not going to be there. I was going to say Justice Winslow for some reason. Jameis Winston. And what do you call him? The tight end?
The tight end. Taysom Hill.
And yet a win total of 9, and it's a pick. Now, opponents, as we talk about, obviously very important. Don't know the order outside of divisional opponents. The NFC East, so you're talking about home games against Dallas Cowboys, New York Giants, road games against the Philadelphia Eagles, to the Washington football team. You get the AFC East as well, so Buffalo and Miami at home, New England and the New York Jets on the road. Your wild cards there, Green Bay at home, Seattle on the road, and the added game with the 17th week, the Tennessee Titans. Remember, this is a team that is taking a step back from a power rating perspective because Brees not being there. All of a sudden, games like the Washington football team game, right, are kind of a coin flip spot. The Dallas Cowboys, the Philadelphia Eagles, these are all teams that are power rated similarly to the Miami Dolphins. This is going to be, I think, a relatively tough schedule for the New Orleans Saints this year.
Yeah, I think when you look at their road games, they're probably going to be favored, you would say, at least in about half of them, the Jets. Philadelphia, I would say Carolina, Atlanta could very well be. But you do have a couple coin flips, Tennessee, New England, depending on when it is. Obviously, in the calendar, that's going to matter. But if you look at the Saints quarterback, and the way I kind of look at it is, I don't think Breeze, based on how he was playing at the end of his career, is that much of a loss necessarily. They were 8-1 straight up over the last two seasons without Drew Breeze, obviously. A lot of that was Teddy Bridgewater when he went in that 5-0 stretch when Drew Breeze hurt his thumb out in the game against the Rams two seasons ago. But are these two guys waiting, ready to go? We know where Sean Payton's heart lies, I think, that he wants to go with Taysom Hill. He wants to make this work because, look, he thinks he sees something and he's going to think, okay, all of you that are questioning me, I am smarter than you, so coaches want to prove that. So he wants to make this Taysom Hill thing work, but they did resign Jameis Winston as an insurance policy. They could have let him go and he might have been able to get some money somewhere else. But looking at this, small lean at this point to the over. But a very small lean at this standpoint. I still think that this is a very good defense.
Yes.
Despite the fact
that's
that,
a very fair point. They were a top three team in terms of efficiency this year. They're very good.
And I know they lose a couple starters. They lose Rankins and they lose Hendrickson and Janoris Jenkins. But this defense, I still feel, keeps them competitive in a lot of games. So small lean to the over here really on the Saints, but it's not something I'm rushing to bet right now.
Yeah. Second, I should correct that. Second in overall defensive efficiency or DVOA, according to Football Outsiders this past year for the New Orleans Saints. It remains largely intact, and that can carry you a pretty long way, especially if they can put together an offense that I guess kind of masks
the limitations. We talked about that on opening lines every Sunday here on VSiN because I think the perception was, okay, the Saints, we were used to them being such a sieve and giving up these big high scoring point totals to opponents. This defense really carried the weight for this team last year because Drew Brees, of course, couldn't throw it beyond 15 yards. So Michael Thomas had a really down year. They had to rely a little bit more on that short passing game.
Well, and to be quite honest, it kind of ties into one team that I'm interested in, depending on, you know, what they're going to do. It was kind of a mystery, I guess. Not really. It seems like Matt Ryan is still going to be the guy. But, you know, we talk about misconceptions, right? The Falcons last year, it was, hey, solid offense, poor defense. Flip that on its head. That front seven actually ranked fifth against the run. The back end was relatively weak. I think they finished 17th in terms of DVOA against the pass. But this offense, with all the weapons they have, if they add a Kyle Pitts, right? Matt Ryan's still there. I still am intrigued by this Falcons team, Wes. And last year, they were a little undervalued. And I think that if we look at this going forward, again, we talk about seven wins, heavily shaded to the over, minus 143. I would agree with that being shaded to the over because I think there is still something there with this team, depending on what they do with the draft, to potentially push for, I guess it's not a 500 record anymore, eight and nine.
They need to get off to a better start because, of course, they lost a couple games they should have won early in the season, and that really set the tone for what ended up being 4-12. Dean Pease comes in as the offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, new head coach. I think Pease is an upgrade as a defensive coordinator. This was a team, the defense was a little better than their numbers, but they still got to get some talent back there. They're a little short on that side of the ball.
Speaking of talent, nobody has more than Jimmy Vaccaro, and he will join us on the other side here of My Guys in the Desert. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And I'm Danielle Avari. The spring sports betting action is just getting started. Our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball trends, NHL and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft. We give you all the tools to make the most of every bet, including our 24/7 video coverage, odds and analysis for every game on VSiN.com, our daily members only best bet emails, and in-depth coverage of every major event in Point Spread Weekly. The weather and the betting action are heating up, and now is the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial at VSiN.com/subscribe. Now back into My Guys in the Desert with Jonathan Von Tobel, Wes Reynolds, and did I see Jimmy Vaccaro floating around in studio?
You did, Danielle. He is here indeed. Jimmy Vaccaro, 41 years as a Las Vegas bookmaker, and he's in our studio. What's up, man?
Wow, everything is going pretty good, kid. Good to see you. Wes and Mr. Von Tobel. You know, I was just looking at something today as I was sitting back there. And like right now, you look back, there's not a lot of people in the book, but there'll be a rush for the 4 and 4:30 baseball games and the NBA games. But the point I'm making is that you talk about true fans. It's the baseball people. Why would I say that? Because for years and years and years, now we'll go another couple weeks. We'll take the first, you know, 5-6 weeks of baseball. The handle never goes down. It's the same people. It's a niche crowd. Yeah. They bet their baseball. Now they bet 3, 4, and 5 teamers. But, you know, something it's what they do. And they come and they'll sit here from the 4:30 game till like 4 or 5 innings into the Dodger game when it's a late game. So you're seeing something that, you know, I've seen for years. I would like to make a bet on this. And obviously in most cases, not everything is absolute. But there'll be times where you'll go 12, 15, 20 games in a row where you come in the next morning and look that the handle is never more than 20,000 more or 20,000 less. It's the same amount of money constantly. So my tried and true fans, that's all I can tell you, buddy.
Do the day games help or hurt? Because like this year we're having a lot of day games. Does that affect the handle at all, guys?
No, it really has. You know what it does? Makes people get up earlier. Yeah. You know, calm down. And the other thing that we keep talking about, and obviously it's everywhere now, is the phone accounts. Even a little guy is putting some money up if he can't make that Cub game at, you know, 9:30 for his 4-teamer for $50. So you're seeing a lot of that. So like I said, JVT, it's like nothing has taken away the handle for the baseball yet. Not one thing.
I'll say one thing. It's tough to get a parking spot here in the afternoon.
Yeah,
I'm coming in for a 2 o'clock show.
Yeah,
I'm like, what is going on here? This place is slamming here at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Well, we're seeing, hopefully, that it's starting to turn a little bit everywhere, and people are getting more free. Now, the trick is, does it hold up? Yeah. You know, where do we go from here? But you're right, Wes. I mean, of course, let's call it like it is. You know, Michael Gaughan is who he is. He treats people fairly. He's been, you know, the legacy with his dad, going back to the 1950s when his dad opened up downtown. They're loyal to Michael because he's loyal to them.
So, Jimmy, I was curious. You know, we have all this footage up. The draft is coming. We're about 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. Going back, how big has the draft been just from a spectacle, like back then to up to now? Because, like, for me growing up, I've always been excited about the draft. Draft coverage has always been there. I've watched combine footage. But I recognize it's more of a new thing in terms of the popularity around the draft.
No, there wasn't any popularity. As a kid, I remember you'd have to wait maybe 2 or 3 days, and there'd be like one story about it. And I never forget looking down and wow, look, they drafted John Havlicek for basketball and football. I said, that was amazing, but I read it in the paper. Now that would be a monster, you know, take all week long to have a show about
that. You had
them
guys all the time.
Exactly.
Wynn Buckner,
right.
Indiana.
You're
you
exactly
all
right,
these
Wes.
Guys that would get drafted in multiple sports.
So to answer your question, no, I remember, like, here's a trivia question. 1960, who was the first pick of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
No idea.
In 1960?
Yeah. Me neither. That's what I'm saying. Nobody knows anything.
The wheels are turning. I'm like, I'm trying to remember.
Oh, boy. It's quite different. Naturally, but you know what? It takes up space now. And obviously, I'm telling people like you who are on the radio every day and TV, you have at least you have something to go on that creates interest. And you know what? What I've gotten already, and well, I say already, maybe the past 7 to 10 days, hey, Jimmy, we're getting closer to football. I says, yeah, you're right. And what can I tell you? So everything that leads up to that. Plus, as we can see, obviously the states are climbing in, right? Arizona and Maryland. Look for California and Texas within about 12 to 18 months.
Arizona officially state number 27 to legalize sports betting here.
Can you believe that? I mean, here it is again. Here's me as a kid running around here way back when. There was a lady. I should have kept it. She was in town, and she had a big meeting, or she called a meeting with all the people who ran the books at the time. And she was saying there's going to come a time when, you know, it's going to be legal to bet sports all over the country. Yeah. Well, you got to remember at that time, even though, like, as a little kid listening to her, she made a lot of sense. But then, you know, I went back and told Michael Gaughan what I had heard from this lady over at this place that we all gathered at. But remember, at that time, none of the casinos wanted okay sports betting everywhere else. It was monopoly here. So nobody would want to, you know, have it any other way around. But what we found out, and as we're seeing, it's just exploding, and everybody's got their full share, and it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well, and I think there's obviously an argument to be made. We had these conversations when PASPA was struck down, mm-hmm. that for you as a bookmaker and all these other guys who have these shops, it would push you guys to a certain extent to keep up with your menu as well, to keep you guys with everybody.
We are because the worst thing you want to hear as a bookmaker, and obviously as me being around, that first of all, that 41, that's old news. It's 46, going on 46 now.
Oh, okay. You got to update your Twitter bio.
Update my thing. But what you see is like what you hate, and I get this like everybody, every other joint in the world. Hey, Jimmy, they got it across the street. Yeah. You want to say, well, just get over to across the street and leave me alone. But right. they all make their point. Yeah. So you got to at least have it. It might not be your main thing, but you got to have it to offer to the people.
Yep. When are you guys having draft stuff up, what, in the next week or so?
Yeah, it'll be up. Chris is working on it now. And, you know, before you know it, well, here we go. The first time the draft is done, we'll put up games of the year. We'll put up, you know, the schedule, whatever. So it never ends. But you remember way back when, well, you remember, seriously, you're too young. We didn't put up football to win the Super Bowl props until August.
Really?
Now they're up as soon as the game is over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To the next one. August was the first time you get futures on stuff like that.
I could not imagine a life like that. Wow. I really couldn't. We were talking about running around old school Las Vegas earlier. You know, actual runners that would right. literally run between books.
Right. And you had line variants, yeah. such sure. big line variants.
That was,
books.
You know, there. If you started it like the Churchill Downs with Harry Gordon's place, where the Paris is now, where the Bally's is now, there. I think there were 11 books from there. Clear down to downtown on Las Vegas Boulevard. You could just walk the whole way down. There's a book, and you're right, Wes. I mean, if you were looking for 7.5, hey man, 7.5 at the Sands. Well, I ain't taking 7 here. I'm going over there. Conversely, if you were at 6.5 near a 7.5, they come over and leave you the 6.5. It was different.
See you later. Talk to you, man. See you later.
Thanks, Jimmy. Yep.
Jimmy Vaccaro, everybody. 46 years as a Las Vegas booker. All right, we'll come back, wrap up the show. Baseball. I don't even know what we'll talk about. We got to talk about it when we come back on My Guys.
Welcome back in. I'm Danielle Avari. Don't wait days for your winnings. Cash out instantly with BetRivers' new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the most in-play betting options out there. As always, get a $250 match bonus, the fastest payouts, and only one-time playthrough at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Offer valid in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem in Illinois, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, 1-800-522-4700. In Michigan, 1-800-270-7117. And in Virginia, 1-888-532-3500. Not valid in Iowa. Let's get back to My Guys in the Desert with JVT and Wes Reynolds.
Thanks a lot, Danielle. Always appreciate it again. Primetime action later today. Check that out. Danielle, along with Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, do a great job on that program. MSG Plus, for those who are watching right now, if you want to check that out, VSiN.com too. Rush Hour comes up after us here on the network. All right, Wes, really quickly, finals in Major League Baseball. We're all done with the day games so far up to this point. By the way, really quickly, I'm going to ask you this. Mitch Moss and I were texting about this earlier. Do you invest in the MLB TV stuff?
What do you mean?
Like the out-of-market package where you buy, because I like to invest in it every once in a while, year to year, but the thing that sucks is we are the home market out here in Las Vegas mm-hmm. for six teams, I think it is. And
yeah, a lot of them get blacked out. Like yeah. I was trying to find the Giants game the other night. Couldn't find it. So, you know, that's really kind of unfortunate. Years ago in Las Vegas, it didn't work that way. You would get all these teams. You would get the Diamondbacks. Yeah. You would get the Giants and the A's and the Angels and all the teams, but... Yeah, baseball needs to get that TV package right. It's like you want to get a younger generation to watch your sport, you got to have it available for them.
All right. Well, let's go through some finals that you did likely see earlier today, at least some notable ones. We don't have to run through each and every one of them, but I do want to start with the ones that are worth mentioning. How about the Miami Marlins and the Atlanta Braves? Braves off to a little bit of a slow start on the season. Very early on, they get their fifth win here today, a 7-6 final over the Miami Marlins. Minter is charged with the win here for Atlanta. The thing that has stuck out to me, though, in this series, Wes, over the last few games for the Miami Marlins, a lineup which can't really hit that much, has been very explosive in this series with the Atlanta Braves. Six runs plated today, and they lose by one. Plated 14 the other day against Atlanta in a win. Took three of four from the Braves. Now that sets up another series with the San Francisco Giants, but a really plucky series for the Marlins. Ultimately, they'll fall short as a plus 150-200.
Yeah, another blown save for the Marlins. They're trying to figure out if they could find a closer. Anthony Bass did not go as well the first week, so he's now in the setup role. It was Dylan Floro that was the victim today. Dansby Swanson, two-run hit in the bottom of the ninth, your game winner, 7-6 Braves.
A decent outing for one Chris Paddock, who I think, after coming up to the majors with much hype, has kind of disappointed.
He needs to find another pitch.
Yeah, I mean, he's there's a lot where he can get taken deep with relative ease for the most part. The command hasn't been great. Now, hasn't given up a home run yet this year. Today has a very solid outing for the San Diego Padres. Five innings pitched, five hits, three runs, only one of them earned. Two walks to four strikeouts. So a really solid even performance here for the Pod Squad and Chris Paddock, who get the win today over the Pittsburgh Pirates 8-3 as a $1.47 favorite.
And the Pirates actually took the money today. This was 161 on the opener, closed as low as 125 in the market I saw. But Pirates do not get the win. Padres get a sweep here. Pittsburgh's offense really struggling.
The Boston Red Sox tried their best to keep the win streak going today, too. I remember it came into today winners of nine consecutive games. Actually played at three at the top of the eighth to tie a game against the Minnesota Twins. But Twins deliver in the bottom of the ninth inning, get the walk-off win 4-3 over the Boston Red Sox, snap that nine-game winning streak. Garrett Richards with a solid outing, five innings pitched, the old Halo, four hits, two runs, four strikeouts. Ultimately, though, of course, not enough.
Well, we know this team can hit, and they're going to put up runs. That's why I thought that win total, I didn't bet it, but I saw that win total at about just a little under 500. I thought, okay, yeah, they're not going to be up there if the Yankees and the Rays come October, but you know, this team is still in Fenway Park, and you got to score a lot of runs there. It's really the pitching that's been a little bit better. We'll see if it holds up throughout the rest of the season, because obviously in that park, you got to score a lot of runs to win games.
Yeah, and it sets up for both of these teams, by the way, two really intriguing series. Twins will go on to take the Angels starting for a weekend series. The Red Sox get the Chicago White Sox for a weekend series as well. So two really fun series that will get started for those two clubs. All right, let's move forward here and talk about, we have what, four, five games that will be taking action later today, and we can discuss, go through some of the props and prices and see if we do have some movement here. First off, you mentioned this earlier, we finally do have a starter in the Blue Jays and Royals game because the Blue Jays had been blank for a while.
Yeah, it's Anthony Kay, left-hander, going to go for Kansas City. Eunice is going to go, or excuse me, for Toronto. Eunice will go for Kansas City. Eunice, you know, has been pretty solid to start the year, 3.32 on the xFIP, so that's not that bad when you don't have anything for the ERA. So Blue Jays going to go with the left-hander on the mound tonight. It looks like Kansas City's getting a little bit of the money. I did not have a bet on this game. This opened 106, and now seeing as high as about 115, 118 even in a couple faraway places, so Kansas City getting the support here from the batters.
Yeah, and Eunice, the first two appearances out of the pen for the Kansas City Royals, just quick one-inning appearances. Last time out, though, went five strong, so lengthening out a little bit here is a five-inning, one-hit performance against the Cleveland Indians. It will eventually be a loss for the Kansas City Royals, so we'll see if he stretches that out a little bit more here today against the Toronto Blue Jays. Let's go to the National League, Arizona Diamondbacks, Washington Nationals, Merrill Kelly opposing one Patrick Corbin. Corbin, not off to the start that I think he wants, or that any pitcher really wants up to this point. ERA really inflated after a 4 1/3, a six hit, six earned run, three walk performance against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Dodgers are going to do that to a lot of people, though. Can you bounce back here against the Arizona Diamondbacks is the question. $1.70 right now on Washington.
Yeah, a little bit of a small lean to the over here, actually, for me, because D-backs, small sample size, but 275 against lefties and only 218 against righties. Washington, I mentioned earlier, fifth in batting average, but 29th in runs. And as we mentioned, the Dodgers, that was really kind of depressed those numbers a little bit. But now Washington looks like they're getting a little bit healthier. Kyle Schwarber's been back a couple games. Josh Bell. So they really haven't been in full strength because some of these players in the first week or two were in quarantine due to COVID-19. So now you're getting, it seems like, your full allotment at the plate, and that would make me would lean to the over in this spot.
All right, back to the American League, because you and I discussed this at the beginning of the week, and this is worth noting here as the Texas Rangers are setting up to take 3 or 4 from the Tampa Bay Rays here today. And these were some really big prices that the Texas Rangers were facing through the first 3 games of this series. And even in the one loss for Texas, you're talking about a 1-0 loss against Tampa Bay. So fighting in that one, Jordan Lyles will oppose Rich Hill here. Rich Hill too, as we talked about, both Lyles and Hill not off to the best of starts. But if you look at Rich Hill up to this point, a little bit rocky to begin. 4 earned runs in each of the outings. Not a lot of length. He did go 6 against the New York Yankees. But again, as we talk about this from the Rays' perspective and the power rating on Texas, it does seem like Texas power rated pretty low, and you got some pretty meaty underdog prices in the 2 wins against the Rays in the 2 of the 3 games of the series up to this point.
Yeah, and I would lean to the under a little bit. It's now at 8. I think you can get 8.5 juice to the under at a couple places around town. But you know, I do think that the Rays, like you were saying, what you were mentioning about Rich Hill, these short outings, I think that this is a little bit overpriced. You're seeing the Rays take the money to kind of bounce back here, but if you look at those first 5 prices, I think you're seeing about 160 on consensus. Some books, by the way, will let you do run lines on the first 5, and that's kind of what I like to do a little bit. You talked about how you've been approaching the first 5 a little bit more than full game this year. Well, you get that half a run, and you may get like even money, or you might have to lay a little bit of juice. That's very valuable, though. That's usually what I will do at the first 5. I will take 0.5 runs and maybe lay like $1.10 or $1.15. That could be the angle here with the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, tonight. The closing prices in this series, Glasnow, $2 favorite. That was a win, $1.70 for Yarbrough. That was a loss, $1.95 yesterday against Fleming. That was also a loss here for Tampa Bay. So again, talking about $1.75, $1.80 on the Tampa Bay race. And I don't know if it's much more about Tampa as it is market not having a lot of respect for the Texas Rangers. All right, move on. A couple of games left. A reminder, Kenny White was with us earlier in the program. Did talk about the Detroit Tigers, about a +155 price on Detroit. Scooble versus Manaea. Manaea not off to the best start either. The Oakland Athletics pitching staff overall not off to the best start for the season. Last time we saw him, though, very much evened out. 6 innings pitched, 6 hits, 1 earned run, 4 strikeouts against the Houston Astros. And this is the kind of thing we talk about, right, where we talk about lineups getting to face pitchers multiple times. Well, the pitcher gets to face the lineup multiple times. And the bounce back from Manaea was much better against the Houston Astros the second time around. This time it's a new opponent, though, in the Tigers. And I think you were talking about the Tigers, or at least Kenny was talking about the Tigers against left-handed pitching, potentially working in their favor here.
Yeah, Manaea's fastball velocity is a little bit up, even though he had that rocky outing against Houston in the opening week. But velocity is a little bit up. My one concern for the Tigers here is I think this bullpen's a little bit taxed. Jose Cisnero, Daniel Norris, Gregory Soto have worked 3 out of the last 4 days for the Detroit Tigers. Brian Garcia's pitched back-to-back games. Buck Farmer's appeared twice in 3 days. So, look, they had to use 6 relievers to piece together the win. So I think this bullpen could be in very rough shape for A.J. Hinch. So Scooball is going to have to go a little bit longer here, and he's 5.21 on the XFIP in just his 10 appearances. So he's got potential, but this was kind of to Derek Stevens' point when we had him on at the beginning of the hour. Maybe this guy's better out of the bullpen instead of necessarily being better in a starting role. So small lean here to the A's.
And last but not least, Dodgers taking on the Rockies. Rockies looking to break the 5-game skid here. Urias is going to get the start. I think the last time we saw Urias, it was on Saturday against the Nationals. That's a little bit more like the Urias we're going to be used to seeing, right? 5 2/3, 3 earned runs, gave up 9 hits, 3 strikeouts, like a solid guy, third type of guy in terms of your rotation.
Yeah.
That might look more than the 7 innings he saw against Colorado, but that's the thing. Pitched 7 innings in his first outing against this Colorado Rockies team. -270, not surprising the price tag here against Gomber.
Lean a little bit first 5 under. Gomber, you worry a little bit about the walks, but he's been solid a little bit. I think he was 2 runs, 1 hits on 6 1/3 last time out. Rockies offense on the road begs the question. Obviously, you play in a bandbox at Coors Field, but the offense on the road has been really paltry this year. 1.2 runs a game on the road, so first 5 under 4 looks good to me.
All right, we are all done here on My Guys in the Desert. The takeover reaches its final act tomorrow. Wes and I will be back here at the desk. A lot to get to in that day. Maybe like a faux football Friday. There's a lot of draft stuff to get to, and I want to get to it. Wes, appreciate it as always. Rush Hour coming up next. I remember.